Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which means, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would contemplate this, if you punish them, then they are your slaves, and if you forgive them, verily you, only you, are the Almighty, the All-Wise. And this is reported by Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. The second point we should keep in mind when we want to increase our iman is that we should know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His names and attributes, بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. Sheikh Mamduh, hafidhahullah, when he came to Al-Huda and he gave a lecture, Is Allah Merciful? Did he give that lecture here? He gave the lecture here. Sheikh Mamduh, hafidhahullah, said a point about knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, and I might change the name, but he said, if you say to someone, do you like Billy? Do you like a boy named Billy? Your immediate response would be you would say, who's Billy? Right? You don't know who he is. And so you cannot make a judgment whether you love him or whether you hate him. And as you increase, you would say, Billy, the one, you know, that comes here in the morning, the one that hands out, you know, the drinks to people, the one who does this. And you start realizing who he's talking about. And then you say, yes, Billy, I do like that person. And he says, Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. When a person doesn't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't know any Qur'an, he doesn't know any hadith, how can he know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He doesn't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing himself subhanahu wa ta'ala on every page of the Qur'an. He will find Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And he will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful, and then he will start working to gain that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shadidul iqab, that Allah is severe in punishment. And so when he thinks to go and commit a sin, that he'll remember and know that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is shadidul iqab, that he is severe in his punishment. Some of those verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself, the Christians, they didn't estimate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you see someone thinking that Allah is everywhere, or Allah is in this and Allah is in that, they haven't estimated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll see Jibreel alayhi salam, the entire earth he could flip it with his wings. And now this person with a confused mind and a deviated mind thinks that Allah is in this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. And they did not estimate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way befitting of an estimation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ
وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which could be translated as, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. And they did not estimate Allah in a way that is befitting of His estimation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of resurrection, the whole of the earth will be grasped by His hand, and the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. That all of this earth is nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَعِندَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِندَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. And with Him are the keys of the ghayb, all that's hidden. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. That no one knows it except He. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And He knows everything that happens in the earth and in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَ. And any leaf that falls. إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. That not a single leaf that falls, and as the fall comes and the wind's blowing, every single leaf that falls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and has knowledge of that leaf that's falling.
وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ.
and there is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but it's written in a clear record. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of this. And indeed, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. And so you read through those verses again and begin to estimate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be estimated. One person came to his teacher and he said, give me something, give me advice that I'll be able to increase my iman. He said that, don't make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a little hard to translate, but he says, don't make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the most, the person that you would care less that He sees what you do. I'll give you an example that if a person wants to commit a sin and his workers, say for example, the imam of the masjid is there, and normally this person, say he smokes, and he normally goes outside and smokes, but if the imam was there, he would be embarrassed to smoke and he would not smoke. When the imam is not there, or someone he respects, and even sometimes little children will come and he'll be embarrassed and he'll put the cigarette away. Even, he said, but if when everybody's gone and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him, he takes out his cigarette and begins smoking. He says, if you go through life and making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the person you care less that sees the things that you do, then you'll be in trouble. So he said, make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the person that you fear the most. That just like a person would fear a human being like that and would be embarrassed to commit a sin and do a haram in front of other human beings, he should be and have that shame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, a person should seek knowledge of the deen. Seek knowledge of the Qur'an and sunnah, of his deen that he's following. And with that knowledge, as he increases in knowledge, he will increase in his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will increase in his iman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an that it is only those who have knowledge amongst his slaves that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That those people, the ulama, the people who have knowledge of the deen, they are the ones who truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourthly, another thing that a person should do to increase his iman is that he should continue and try working hard in trying to do many good deeds, and not just sticking to one good deed, but looking through the sunnah and seeing all the good deeds that are open to him. If a person looks, for example, you'll see some people, they'll get certain dhikrs that'll have some strange wording in the dhikr, and will have, you know, a little bit, maybe some aqidah, there's an aqidah problem in the dhikr. It's as if the person has completed all the sunnah adhkar that the Prophet ﷺ has said, and now he has to move on to something else. You see, if you want to be a Superman, you have a book like Hisnul Muslim. Open that up, and on every page you will see the authentic du'as and supplications and invocations of the Prophet ﷺ. And you go through any book, and if we sat down and we brainstorm, when I would sit down and brainstorm, I could get maybe 300 good deeds that a person can do. But the people, we don't open our mind. If I started, what kind of good deeds can we do? You will see there will only be a trickle. Because people don't think about all the khair that a person can do. And all the different sunnahs that a person can do in his life. And when a person continues to do one sunnah after the other, his iman will be increasing with all those good deeds that he is doing. So some people may be coming to the masjid, alhamdulillah, and going back. And every day, this is what they do. But there are many good deeds that the person can do after, in the masjid, amongst his brothers. Say for example, he gets some water and he hands it out to the brothers. Say for example, he stands outside the door with a bottle of perfume and gives brothers some itr as they enter the masjid. Suppose he goes around and says salam to every single person in the masjid. Can you imagine that? You know, a person say, how long would it take? I remember Masjid Nabawi, someone was there, an old man from an Asian country, and he spent his whole day going around the masjid saying salam to every single person. You know, and you'll see that anybody that said salam to him had to go away with a smile. And he couldn't hide his own smile as, you know, all day long he's going around saying salam to everybody. Just something simple like that. But how many of us have sat down and said salam to everybody in the masjid? Or do we just come and go? You'll see in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, there is a group of companions and he asked them, مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مِنْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ صَائِمًا. He said, who woke up this morning fasting? Like, who's fasting today? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu raised his hand. He said, قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ أَنَا. He said, I'm fasting. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَتْبَعَ مِنْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَازَةً. He said, who has followed the funeral procession today? Who has gone for the janazah today? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu raised his hand and he said, قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ أَنَا. And then ﷺ, he said, مَنْ زَارَ مِنْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مَرِيضًا. He said, who visited a sick person today? قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ أَنَا. And he kept raising his hand, and you'll see, in fact, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he talked about all the doors of Jannah, he said, this door is for the people that do this, this door is for the people that do that, this door is for the people that do that. He said, Ya Rasulullah, is there someone that will enter from all the doors? Because he's hoping for that, because he does all these things. And he said, Na'am, and he said, Wa arju an takuna minhum. And he said, and I hope that you will be one of those people. This was narrated by Muslim. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, and he said, "Majtama," Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Majtama'na fi mri'in illa dakhala al-jannah." That these things do not gather together in one person in one day, except that he'll enter Jannah. This always looking for the khair to do, always looking for the good deeds, always searching it out and going and trying to find those good deeds wherever it'll be. One day, someone passed away in our city in Canada, which is Winnipeg, and it's a small city. And that day, my wife told me, she said, "We're gonna fast today." And then I said, "Why?" I said, "Is it Monday? Is it Thursday?" They said, "No, because we're going for a janazah today, and inshallah, after the janazah, we'll go visit some sick person." You know, and it never came to my mind to actually try implementing the hadith. But subhanAllah, the whole family fasted that day, and we went to the janazah, and after the janazah, someone came up to me and said, you know, there's a brother, he fell off, about four stories on a ladder, and he's in the hospital, and we need you to come visit him in the hospital. And I said, this is exactly what I was looking for, you know, to complete the hadith in one day. But this shows you that a person should continue. These are the khair, the person should always look for that al-a'mal as-salihah, and always search them out and try to implement and work on that, and in that way his iman will be increasing. It was said to Hamad ibn Salama, and this is such a profound thing, that if someone told him that tomorrow is the day of judgment, or someone told him that tomorrow you're going to die, he wouldn't be able to increase in any more good deeds. And it's such a profound thing, meaning that he wouldn't have anything extra to do, because he lives his life every single day as if tomorrow he's going to die. Now, if someone told us that we're going to die tomorrow, we'll forget the car, forget the house, forget going home tonight. We'll just sit here in the masjid and be praying and giving all our wealth away and giving our zakat and doing all those things. We'd completely change our life in about 5 minutes, right? Because we'd be going in a complete different direction. But this is how that they would live their life. They were going in that direction to the hereafter. And that's why he couldn't increase in anything. Fifthly, for a person to increase in his iman, he should remember death often. Al-ikthar min dhikri al-maut. The Prophet ﷺ said, أكثر من ذكري هذه من لذات يعني الموت. Which was narrated by Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ said, remember often the destroyer of pleasures. And the narrator said, he means death. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't say death and dying and those words. He said, هَذِمُ اللَّذَّاتِ. The thing that all those happy things that you have in this dunya, the death just takes it and it snuffs it away. It takes everything away from you. He said, remember that thing. And I recall a shaykh, and we studied in Kuliyat al-Sharia, and every single day we hear the word ikhtalaf al-ulama, that the scholars have differed. every time another fiqh question comes up, اختلف العلماء, and then we start. In fact, we asked the Shaykh, we said, Shaykh, why don't we study anything that the people agreed on? And then he said, he goes, it'd be a waste of time because everybody agrees. You know, so we should study the things that they differ on. But when he came to Kitab al-Janais, he started off the depths by saying, Al-Mawt la khilafa fi. He said, death is no difference of opinion. No matter who you are, and what religion you believe in, and what you're doing in your life, there's not a single person that will disagree with you that you're going to die. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, أَكْثِرُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ, that remember often this thing that's going to snuff away all your pleasures. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he initially forbade the people from visiting the graves, he told them, he said, now go and visit the graves, فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ بِالْآخِرَةِ. He said, because it reminds one of the hereafter. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, go to those graves and look. Don't say that I'm visiting this person, that person. Look at the next pot right there, and that's the one that's waiting for you. And don't, just like these people used to pray janazah for other people, the day will come when other people will pray janazah for you. A brother and I, when we were going back in the summer from Medina, we would take time, an afternoon, to follow a janazah into Al-Baqiyah and go and look in some of those graves and see that person that had died that day and look at those empty. And in fact, they dig up other graves in expectation of other people coming. You know, because every day people are dying in Medina, they're buried in Baqiyah. So they have those plots already dug up. And you spend some time and you look at those plots and you know that you're going to be in one of those places, in one of those dark places, and the dirt is going to be put on top of you. As one of the scholars said, when he heard someone backbiting and speaking badly about his Muslim, he told him, and he said, remember the day when they'll put cotton on your eyes. He said, remember that day. So don't be looking around at the faults of other people, but close your eyes, and inshallah, the people will close their eyes at your faults. And protect your tongue from speaking against your brothers. Sixthly, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very often. And the person who wants to remedy this weakness of iman and this his iman going down, he needs to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to him. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember me and I shall remember you. And in the other hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person puts his hand out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah puts his arm out to that person, and when he comes walking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes running to that person. And so the person needs to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah in His mercy, and this is the slave and this is a human being, that Allah will come more to that person. He comes slowly and Allah will come quickly to him by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ, and remember your Lord if you forget. And so, and if you practice this verse, and like we said about these companions, that they wouldn't go on to the next verse until they practice these things, you can imagine, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. How many times do you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day? In fact, the majority of the day is spent in ignorance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so any time you find that ignorance, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any time that ignorance comes, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا نَسِيتْ فَذْكُرْ اللَّهِ. If you forget, then remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seventhly, and in conclusion, one time, and we were speaking about this, how a person wants to do tawbah, and they feel that they're weak, and they're not capable of going back. You know, this is in Hajj, going back to the U.S. and leaving the sin that they're in. That person feels that weakness because he's placing his trust in himself. Right? You think, I can't go back and leave those sins, and I can't go back. He's placing his trust in himself, but he should place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dua doesn't have to be, I'm going to stop this and I'm going to stop that. But he could pray, oh Allah, give me the power to stop this and stop that. And all these things and all the goodnesses that are in the dunya, and from the iman and from the khayrat, everything in the from the dunya and everything beautiful is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the person should ask for that thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the person should never ever forget to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase him in his iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say after each salah, 5 times a day, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help me and assist me in your remembrance. Wa shukrika, and help me and assist me in you, in being thankful to you. And help me and assist me in perfecting my ibadah, my worship of you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, I'll conclude insha'Allah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
JazakAllahu khair for the inspirational lecture. We're going to open the for questions, and the sisters can write it on the paper for 15 minutes, and then we'll make our share, inshallah.
Just 1 second. I think I was in ICM when I said this exact same, and I think the brother was there at ICM when I said this. Whenever you speak about the hereafter, there's usually not too many questions. Just like we said about death, there's no difference of opinion about death. And whenever people hear a speech like that, everybody's silent, because everybody knows that after, if I had done a fiqh topic, there would be the questions and the debates and so on. But when death comes, there's no difference of opinion, and you see that reflected in, you know, a minimal amount of questions. Go ahead, man.
And visiting the sick people.
Yeah.
And it is the same thing. Let's say if you don't know any Muslim person who is sick or in the hospital. It's the same thing if you just go and, you know, visit a non-Muslim person. And if you visit a non-Muslim person in the hospital, what is the etiquette?
No. I'd like to. The question was about visiting non-Muslims in the hospital. I'm gonna not answer that question, inshallah, because it's the first time I've heard that. Inshallah, I'll look it up. And I'll get to you, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. No. Salaamu alaykum. Inshallah. Inshallah. No.
Speaking about the subject of death, there's no question that, as you narrated the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, that there are just people having left that or having left that.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, however, this very topic seems to be very touchy subject for some people because of the thinking of separation from death and others. So, what comments would you give us? And what encouragement of yours would you give to us?
I think the question you mean is like if people are in a gathering and they're having fun and you want to start talking about death and
no, yeah. No, I mean, we should not feel bad about dying or facing that.
No. Topic. Actually, there is a point, like we said about the ulama, that he advised someone and he said that if you ever do something in your life, make sure that you do that deed. And because of that deed, the most beloved thing to you after that will be death. Because when people commit sins, the most hated thing to them after that is death. But when people are doing good, they would love to hear about death and the things that are waiting for those people that do good. But if someone is in sin, they don't want to be reminded of, you know, what's going to happen to them. So, in the etiquettes of that, you would pick your time. You know, that not every occasion is the time to, you know, to cut the topic and speak about death, but you pick the moment and the proper place to speak about these things, and the times when there will be most benefit in a discussion like that. You'll see Musa alayhi salam, they would have these huge festivals, and he would go to the festival in order to, you know, for that when they were throwing down the sticks and all the magicians were there, and he had the opportunity to show them the signs of Allah, and they all became Muslim, all the magicians. So the person needs to pick his places where, you know, he can be of most benefit. Sometimes if you start something and you get into a fight, and then they'll say, let's not invite this person to our gatherings anymore. You know, you're like cutting yourself off from there. But you would want to make it and choose the proper time and in the best way. You know, with the hikmah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bil hikmah wal maw'idatil hasana, that you would call them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, sorry, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, when he's talking about people giving khutbah, a lot of people give khutbahs that are just like horror movies, right? They're just giving the khutbah and scaring the person to death. But the person gets scared, he doesn't increase in worship, he's just scared of death, right? And they just became horrified and they're shaking and they hear about, you know, graves and so on. But it doesn't have an effect. And he's saying that you don't just do that kind of a thing. You have the raghba and the rahba. You have the fear and hope together, hoping and giving them those things. And you teach them about the deen. It's not just, you know, to scare a person and hope something comes out of it. But you want to show them the way that they can save themselves, the way they can find themselves, you know, in Jannah. And working around, teach them about the deen. Let them learn their deen. And so on. Jazakallah. It's called contemplation. Contemplation.
Yes.
Contemplating the creation and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes. This helps also
in yeah. In fact, this topic is a topic that Sheikh Salih al-Munajjad did a long time ago. He had a book called Zahir al-Da'f al-Iman. It's on the internet in Arabic and English. And it was a lecture he gave. They made a book out of it. And it was the phenomenon of the weakness of faith. Inshallah, at his website, islam-qa.com, you'll find a copy of that book. And it'll have much more than what I've said. What I've said and much more. And you'll see one of the points that he says is contemplating the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person, and these days, because everybody's stuck in their cubicles and in their offices, everybody has these wildlife screensavers and these, you know, some tropical ocean. It's always a screensaver. But they should step outside, go see all the creation around them, and they'll see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and this would increase someone's iman when he sees how vast the creation in this earth is. And he'll see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.